In a minute. Thank you, my friend. And it's good to be here. The air's a little dry up this neck of the woods. I'm from Illinois, and the elevation is not as much there. So I just can't get enough water, for that matter, and kind of the headache kind of sets in a little bit. But you folks are used to you have headaches every day of your life. You just deal with it, right? I guess. I don't know. But thank you so much for allowing us to be here. RU is discipleship. RU is the Lord Jesus Christ. RU is beneficial of what the church is already doing. This does not take place of what the church is and what the church is doing, just to help you understand. RU is an enhancement and an advancement of what God is already doing in your church. You've got outreach. People are being saved. They're coming in on different vehicles, perhaps a bus ministry and so on. And so you're reaching the community to some extent. And God is just about to turn the faucet on. No, God's just about to turn the hydrant on. Amen. From heaven over Lighthouse Baptist Church. So be ready, be prayed up, and love people. People ask me often, Brother Aiken, are you ministry, people, reaching people with addictions? If I've never had an addiction, I can't help anybody, right? I said, that's not true. Well, if I have had an addiction, I can't help anybody, right? I said, that's not true. Let me ask you this, and I asked this person this. The only prerequisite, what do you need? They asked me this, what do you need to help people, Brother Aiken? I said, two prerequisites. Number one, do you love Jesus? Anybody love Jesus today? Good. Secondly, do you love people? Do you love people? Yes. Those are the only two prerequisites you and I need. And then we teach them three things. Get them back to Christ. We exalt Christ through the RU Recovery Ministry. There's a few books back on the table over there. If you want to look at them, fine, let me know. We can set you up and let you buy a book or two. That's great. That's wonderful. But the Bible's our textbook, folks. Amen. The Word of God through the Spirit of God is what people really desperately need in this world today, especially here in Butte, Montana as well. So we point them to Christ. We point them to the Word of God. Then we point them to the church house. I love that phrase, the church house. Amen. You and I get to come to the church house to hear about the Lord Jesus. And so those in the community, whoever they are out in the community, wherever they are in Silver Bow County, they're going to know there's a place over here on St. Ann Street. I love it, a Catholic name for a Baptist church, hallelujah. But St. Ann Street. And there's a place over here that loves people and wants to reach people and wants to help people. Let me ask you that. See, Alex, could you do me a favor? The break in the change tracks, could you get those? How many do you think are laying there on the table? 30? I can't remember off the top of my head. What's it look like, Alex? You get a lot there?
No.
Okay. I'd like to do this. I'd like to give everybody sitting right here this morning, right now, I'd like to give you one of those tracks. I won't give them to you. Alex will give them to you. And get the word out. Tell folks that you're going to be meeting here on a regular basis. Let me help you with this. Your best advertisement is a changed life. Somebody mentioned to me just a few minutes ago that they appreciated my passion. Now, 20 years ago, Brother Aiken wasn't what he is today. I'll promise you that. I've been saved since I was 10 years old, and I've known Christ for 47 years now. Yeah, please give everybody one track, at least one track each. Be perfect. And I've known Christ since I was 10 years old, been saved a long time. I allowed the addiction of pornography to invade my life, invade my thought life. I was 25 years old, acting like I was about 12. Because what that does, it stunts your emotions, it stunts your spiritual growth. I'm listening to the rock music, I'm not talking 45 years ago now. Rock music, rap music, country music, anything. The television was going 24/7. There was no holds bar in my house. There were no boundaries spiritually. And I was going to church 5 times a week, preacher. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, even activities. But I still had this addiction. I didn't know how to get over this addiction. Then I met Jesus. I didn't mean I got saved. I mean, then I really met Jesus. I really came to the realization of Titus 2, chapter 11, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God hath appeared to all men, bringing salvation, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and our glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was the light bulb moment for Dale Aiken. I'm supposed to be just teaching, not this minute, but I'll preach later. I'll preach now, I don't know. It's not just the passion. I want to pay it forward. I want to help the next person. Because I know where I was 25 years ago. And I'm sitting at home and not wanting to go to church, not wanting to see anybody. And a knock comes on the door every Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Mrs. Aiken goes to the door and says, good to see you, brother. He says, can we see Dale today? No, he doesn't want to see anybody. Okay, you let him know two things. Number one, that we love him. And secondly, we're praying for him. And I heard that month after month on Thursday night at 7 o'clock when he knocked on that door, preacher. So when finally I realized I've got to get back to church, I'm being foolish. What am I missing here? I'm missing a walk with God is what I was really missing. Now, mind you, I've been saved already. I've been saved for a long time at that point. So I walk back into the church finally, and I'm walking. My wife is, she's got me, I literally have her by my arm, and I'm walking in. She's almost dragging me in the door. You want to be here, don't you? I said, yeah, no. You know, one of those things. So I'm walking in the door, and I just feel like, man, the ceiling's going to fall on me. Good night. God's going to bring his condemnation on me. Everybody's peering at me. They know what I've been doing. My pastor told me, he said, son, ain't nobody in this world, in this church, knows what you're doing except you, your wife, and me, because that's who you've told. The whole church loves you, brother. I didn't believe that. I didn't think that. But they did love me. They did pray for me. So I walk in the door. You know, the first person I met when I walked in that door was that deacon. I'm walking through the door there. He said, brother, I want to let you know that I have been praying. About time he said the word praying, I grabbed him. I said, I know you've been praying for me, man. I love you, brother, and I appreciate you not giving up on me. That's what RU is. It's not giving up on people and loving them. Pointing them to Christ, pointing them to his word, pointing them to the church house. We're going to help somebody this year, aren't you? You are. Well, I can't do that, Brother Aiken. Okay, then let the power of Christ work in you and through you to reach somebody. Because they're in this county. They're waiting. I'll give you an illustration. I'll give you a story. This is a true story. My wife and I were in Indiana several months ago, and the pastor allowed us to stay in the prophet's chamber, which was part of the church building itself. And so it was in the basement area, really. So it had kind of a different entrance into the facility there. And so we were there on Friday, did training and so on, and Saturday did training and had the class and all that. So Saturday night, about 3 a.m., we hear a doorbell ringing. Now, mind you, I'm part of this huge facility here. So I hear a doorbell ringing, and I'm thinking, okay, what in the world? 3 a.m.? Why is a doorbell ringing at 3 a.m.? I'm thinking, okay, do I answer it? 10 minutes later, ding, same thing. Okay, now I'm getting a little bit nervous. Okay, I've never been in this town before. I don't know what's going on. So I called the pastor. I said, pastor, the front doorbell is ringing. He says, I'll take care of it. He had a retired EMT and a retired police officer that did security for the properties. He says, I'll call him. 3 or 4 or 5 minutes later, we hear an ambulance in the background. Now, I don't know if they were coming to the church. I have no idea why the doorbell was ringing. So I'm thinking, okay, 3:30. Do I call the pastor back at 3:30? No. Do I call him back at 4? I better not. He's probably back in bed. So by the time 5:15 rolls around, my wife and I thought, well, I don't know. We don't know what happened. We'll go back off to sleep. 8:30, I'm walking upstairs, getting ready for Sunday school, grabbing a cup of coffee. Hallelujah for coffee in a Baptist church, amen. But I'm grabbing a cup of coffee, and the pastor said, hey, I got to tell you about last night. I said, tell me, brother. So he told me, he says, there was a guy who had come up to the door, had the cognizance to come to the front door. The porch light was very lit very well there. Ringing the doorbell, the guy was overdosing. And he had the cognizance to ring that doorbell. And he says, I called the EMT. That's what you heard, the ambulance. They came. He said, if it had been another 5 minutes, is what the pastor told me, the guy would have died right on the front steps of the church. He says, folks, they're literally coming to our front door for help. That's what the pastor said. He said also this, that you're a recovery program to someone. You and I can minister to others. We certainly can. So we're sitting at lunch while the pastor is telling his story again. My wife says, I need to know the rest of the story. We need to find this guy. Now, obviously, if you're not a family member, they don't give you information. You understand that. HIPAA laws and all that stuff. We got to find this guy. Let's pray for him. His name is Mike. He said, let's pray for him. Okay, we'll set that to pray for him. She goes, I want to know if he's going to come back. 4:30 in the afternoon, as any Baptist is doing, you're taking a good nap, aren't you? Yeah, sure you are. Now, there's people milling around, choir practice and different things going on for the church. So 4:30, the doorbell's ringing. Same exact time the pastor's pulling up. There are no coincidences with God, by the way. He's pulling up to the church house. Same exact time. He walks up and says, sir, may I help you? Because the pastor obviously wasn't there at 3:45 in the morning when they took him away to the hospital, okay? He says, sir, I want to apologize to you, number one, and secondly, say thank you. He says, why? Why? He says, I'm the one who was ringing the doorbell at 3:30 this morning. He says, somebody saved my life. The pastor began to witness to him and talk to him about Christ. He says, I've known Christ for years. He says, I've been stuck in addiction and I knew where to come and get help. Praise the Lord. The pastor said this. He says, Saturday night for somebody to be staying there on that facility, for that to happen, he says, brother and sister, that is of God. Or he could have come that Sunday morning and found someone who had passed away on the front steps. It's important who we reach. Let's reach everybody. Look around you in the community. See who's bound. Look around, see who's bound. They're just looking for help, hope, and healing. That's what RU is all about. It really is. And thank you so much for allowing us to be here, preacher. My heart has been thoroughly blessed by meeting you, listening to a little bit of your testimonies, and I'll share your testimonies around the country as well. I may not use your name, but I may say there's a lady over here in Butte, Montana, or there's a man over here in Butte, Montana, or there's a couple over here in Butte, Montana. I may say that, where God is doing some incredible changes in your life. So thank you for allowing us to be here. I can't say that enough. Take your Bibles, please. Galatians chapter number 2. The fellowship has been sweet. The hotel's been wonderful. And we've just had some great time training with one another. And you got a friend right here in Dale Lake. And call me anytime. If you don't know my number, don't call me anyway. But you've got a friend right here in the RU ministry. And we'll try to be as help as humanly possible to you. I keep a picture in my Bible. You cannot see this, but I want to show it to you kind of up here. This is a picture of my family. From this way to this way is my youngest daughter, Molly Anna. Then my oldest daughter, Brianna. Then my middle daughter, Carissa. My son, Caleb, he's 6'4". There's my wife next to him. There's me. That's the guy right there. And my other son, oldest son, is 6'7". This picture was taken just a few years ago when my son graduated college. But in the picture, my two youngest daughters, when I was running from God over 20 years ago, my two youngest daughters were not born yet. They were not in the picture yet in the Aiken family. And I think about often when I look at that picture, I think had I stayed in addiction and kept running from God, I'd be one of two things, either dead or divorced. And those two children would have never been born. My wife graciously named them this, Carissa Grace and Molly Anna Faith. We needed grace and faith so much. We need it now today too. But just God's timing for that. I'm so grateful for the decision I made to come back to the Lord. You and I get to minister to people who, they oppose themselves. You understand. They don't know what's right and wrong. They don't know what up and down is. They just know they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Are you with me? They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. So let's show them that there's hope and help and healing. You're in your Bibles, please. Take your Bibles. Galatians chapter number 2. You there? Would you please stand with me for the respect out of God's word, please? Galatians 2. We're going to look at verse number 19, 20, and 21. The Bible says in Galatians 2:19, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Father in heaven, please help us this morning. We need to hear from you and your word. I'm a mouthpiece. That's all the preacher is. It's just a mouthpiece. Would you do something real in the lives of the people in this room today? Would you have your way? Would you have your will? And Father, help us to learn to give up our will, to give in to your will, and to give you all the glory. We ask these things in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to talk to you this morning on this subject, living the crucified life. Living the crucified life. The ministry of the RU ministry is basically twofold. We teach and encourage people to walk in the Spirit of God. Sunday school, I showed just a quick illustration of walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is basically going on the path that God is leading you, being Spirit-led. You're taking repeated steps in the same direction where God is leading you. And you're asking the whole time, God, would you help me? God, would you empower me? God, would you lead me? God, would you strengthen me? The world, the flesh, and the devil are fighting me, God. Anybody got a witness for that this morning? Absolutely. Everybody in this room, the world, the flesh, and the devil is going to fight you every day of your life. You all have flesh. And he's going to do that until the day we close our eyes in death and see Jesus face to face. But for now, we've got to stay walking in the Spirit on the path that God is leading us. So as I walk down that path, I'm asking this, the second fold teaching that we teach here, the twofold teaching, is we're encouraging people to be strengthened in the inner man. Ephesians chapter 3. We don't have time to teach and preach that while we're here this weekend, but take some time and read Ephesians chapter 3, specifically verses 14 through 21. Those verses, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, talk about being strengthened in the inner man by Jesus Christ. Not by the church, not by my will, not by my friends, but I'm strengthened in the inner man by Jesus Christ. That's what the vast difference of all your secular programs are as opposed to the program called the recovery, faith-based recovery. Because it is faith-based. Does Jesus have all power or not? Yes or no? Yes, he does. He has all power. He has all strength. And he can enable you and I to live victoriously. Smile with me this morning. Would you smile? Everybody smiling? Good. You're alive, aren't you? You're breathing? Hallelujah. You might have a cup of coffee this morning. Good. Well, we're good now, ain't we? Amen. But God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And he's going to teach you and I how to minister to somebody those exact character traits of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and so on. And he's also going to help us just to teach a few principles. And by the way, all of these principles here are based on God's Word. It's not just because it sounds good, let's give it to somebody. No way. I mean, 99.9% of the time, 100% of the time, you and I are going to teach people and encourage people to get in the book right here. I showed this yesterday to the folks. You can't see this, but if you can see at the edge of my Bible, there's a little bit different color of post-it notes right there on the edge of my Bible. And I've got post-it notes in the front. See all those? I got post-it notes in the back. See all those? Yeah, and I got stuff in the middle here. I got notes cards right here. I got pictures. Others, my wife and family. Here's my daughter-in-law and grandson. But I've got post-it notes all over the place, sermon notes and whatnot. I do that on purpose because I need to be Spirit-filled. I need to give up my will and see what God's will is for my life, and I can't do that unless I'm reading His Word. I can't do that unless I'm following what He wants me to do in my life. Sometimes we're too stubborn to allow God to work in us. Oh, can I get a witness? Help us. I'm guilty too. But so the principles that we teach are the fruit of the Spirit, the principles here, all based obviously on God's Word. Has anybody ever heard of the La Brea Tar Pits? Out in L.A. County, somewhere out in Los Angeles. Us gray hairs or no hairs, we know that. We were taught that in school. I have no idea if they're teaching today. But the La Brea Tar Pits was a place that they found. There were supposed to be dinosaurs and things like that. Not discounting that at all. But animals were stuck, if you will. They were stuck in the La Brea Tar Pit, correct? They found bones. They have found mammals. They have found smaller dinosaurs and whatnot. And a little baby dinosaur that fell in there. They have found where mama came over and tried to help the little baby dinosaur out, right? Sure. And little baby dinosaur accidentally, if you will, pulled mama in. Now you got mama sticking in there with her two hands, her two legs, and baby's in there. What in the world? Then dad comes along, tries to help him out. Now they found daddy mammoth, mama mammoth, baby mammoth stuck in the La Brea Tar Pits. That's an excruciating, slow, painful way to die, isn't it? Sure it is. Anybody ever heard of the city of Pompeii where the volcano erupted? Did they have warnings? Perhaps they did, perhaps they didn't. I don't know. But they have... Archaeologists have found in the city of Pompeii, they have found people literally frozen in. Are you with me? Or laying on the ground in a fetal position. What was that? That was a volcano that erupted. It didn't bring a slow, excruciating, painful death. It brought an immediate death to that person. I'm going to show you this morning regarding the crucified life. How God doesn't want me to just say, well, I'll give it up when I want to give it up, and I'll do it slowly and all that stuff. God wants me to live the crucified life. When he points out things in my life that I don't need because it's sin and it's destructive, he says, I'm going to give you the power to kill that appetite immediately. And I'll give you the power to stay away from those desires if you choose to. Galatians chapter 2, you there? Here's our key for the whole sermon today, and I'll give it to you right now. Verse number 21, the Bible says this, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So the idea of giving up my will, giving into God's will and give him all the glory, the whole idea is this, his grace is on the way to my life. Anybody want God's grace today? Hallelujah. Anybody need God's grace today? Hallelujah. We all do. And it's on its way to my life. I may not be able to see it. Sometimes I may not be able to recognize it. And grace is always available for us. Always available. But what happens many times, ladies and gentlemen, we don't appropriate it. We like misery. Misery loves company. Huh. We like being in a depressed situation. That's our sinful nature. We like people to feel sorry for us. Oh, woe is me. I'm a victim. I didn't have 3 cups of coffee today. I only had 2. I'm a victim. I'm being facetious, but you know exactly what I'm saying. And when I was running from God over 20 years ago, in a three-day time period, I called 40 of my friends and family members, church members, and workers that I worked with. 40 different people, preacher. This is back when they still had answering machines in people's houses. Yeah, Cell phones weren't really that popular 21, 22 years ago. So I'm calling all these people. In 3 days, not one of them answered their phone, not one of them. The ones I left a message on their answering machine, or on their cell phone, if you will, not one of them called me back either, even though I left a message. This is what God was showing me, that 3-day time frame. He says, Dale, you don't need anybody in this world to strengthen you or to change your life except me, and that's all you need. And I thank God that God showed me that day. What he was doing was teaching me how to give up my will. Isn't it too easy to phone a friend when you need something? Help me now. It's all right. It's just me and you. We're praising the Lord together. But isn't it too easy just to call somebody because you need help in your life? Huh. Try that spiritually instead. It's too easy to do one of these things right here and just say, okay, I'll help in the ministry. Here's a couple of dollars a week, preacher. But and you may be thinking, well, there's no way I can get out there on a Thursday night. I can't do this. I can't do that. Your preacher said it well. Pray. God may give you a burden to reach your neighbor. If you never come on a Thursday night, God still may give you a burden to reach your neighbor. Hello? But it's too easy to do this. Well, let's just give all the money and be done with it. I don't have to do anything. Man, that's one of them again. When I went back home 20 years after the program, 20 years ago after the program, I walked in the door and people shunned me. You're one of them. You've been in an addiction program. You're not brother anymore. You're just Dale. That hurt me. That really hurt me. And I almost left the church because of that, because they didn't know how to extend God's grace. You understand? Now, I wasn't looking for the victim mentality. I was just looking for some love of God's people. That's what I was really looking for. That's exactly what this county's looking for. Your neighbors out here, that's exactly what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody to love them unconditionally, and God does. And certainly he wants God's people to do that as well. But this crucified life, it's got to be on purpose. It has to be on purpose. Now, Jesus forgives sin. Is that right? Yes or no? Are you with me? Jesus forgives our sin. He sure does. He fellowships with my spirit. You ever had a good spiritual time with the Lord Jesus and the Bible was real, his spirit was real? Man, you didn't want to go to work that day because, wow, God showed up. That excited you, didn't it? Okay? So he communes with my spirit. He wakens me up. He enlivens me, I guess I could say. The word quicken in the Bible means made alive. Also, this is Jesus finalizes my sanctification. He's trying to get me to be like him. Silver Bow County doesn't need more Lighthouse Baptistites. Are you with me? Silver Bow County needs more Christians that are Christ-like. That's what Silver Bow County needs. So when a person walks through the door for the first time at the RU ministry or the church itself, they're going to see Christians, not Lighthouseites, not RUites. I'm an Aikenites, whatever. They're not going to see that. They need to see Christians. They need to see Christians that are real, that are sincere, that are genuine, that love them. They're trying to try to be a help to them in their life. You understand that. Let me give you three observations this morning. Number one, regarding the crucified life, I must die to my will. I must die to my will. My will is strong, so is yours. I have a stubborn streak, so do you. I love me, so do all of us. We love ourselves. We're going to take care of ourselves. But what he's teaching us here is we've got to die to our will. Take your Bibles, you're there, Galatians 2, look at verse number 20, please. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This verse has a double positive. Let me show you. It's got a double positive. The first positive, it says that Christ lives in me. Who, anybody saved this morning? You know, Christ is your Savior. You're going to heaven, and you're not afraid to say amen. Amen. I fell over here. But yeah. Christ lives in you. He moved in as soon as he got saved. Woo! He took up residence. He lives at 5'11", 200, none of your business. That's where Jesus lives. The Holy Spirit lives there. That's where Jesus lives. So Christ lives in you. But look at the second positive in the verse. Are you with me? You there? Look at verse number 20. He says, Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. I want you to notice here, it doesn't say live after the flesh. Okay, living after the flesh will be worldly, carnal, and ungodly. That's living after the flesh, okay? I live in the flesh. Anybody got flesh on this morning? Yeah, you live in your flesh. Hello, we're there. But look at the next phrase. He says, I live by the faith of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Is that what it says? I live by the faith of Alex. Don't say that. I live by the faith of Rodney. I live by the faith of Dale. Oh, help us. Somebody help us. I live by the faith of Butte, Montana. No, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. Whoa! That's exciting to me. So the double positive is this. Christ lives in me. I live by his faith. And I'll promise you this. God's faith will get the attention of God the Father. Or Jesus' faith, pardon me. The faith of Jesus Christ will get the attention of God the Father every single time. So I go to God by way of the Holy Spirit, exercising the faith that God gave me when I got saved. God says, now I can talk to you. Now I can work in your life because you're exercising the faith that Jesus just gave you. That he'll change your life. Oh, can anybody testify this morning you've had a life change? Let me see it. You've had a life change, haven't you? Tell somebody. Tell them. Give a tract to somebody. I got tracts here. I grabbed them yesterday at the church. Hallelujah. Lighthouse Baptist Church. Yeah, I'm not a member here, but I'm going to give them out at the hotel. Perkins. Met a guy at Perkins the other day. He gave him a track, and he says, huh, interesting. I know why you came in this restaurant today. I said, okay. He says, my uncle's a Baptist preacher. I said, yeah, that's wonderful. He goes, this is a sign. This is exactly what he said to me. He says, this is a sign. I said, brother, Lighthouse Baptist Church, come on over. You're welcome to visit here anytime you want to. I told him Wednesday night, but I didn't realize you had Thursday night. But anyway, so Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, I'm just simply saying, we've got an opportunity for God to work in our lives. Let's let him do that. His faith is real. Can you see it? Amen. Can you believe it? Exercise it. Anybody ever pump weights? You can. I never have. You pump weights, help us. Yeah, you've lifted weights before. And perhaps maybe at some measure you've tried to be a little, you've maybe exercised a little bit. You see what I'm saying? You wanted to be a little bit more fitter. Is that even the right English? Help us. You want to be more fit? You ever went on a diet? That's tonight's sermon, by the way. Come back. Please come back at 5 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock? Okay, if you're here at 5, God bless you. But come back tonight. We're going to talk about a spiritual diet tonight. We're going to talk about how to detox from the world. Hey, listen. Detox from the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're going to talk about that tonight at 6 o'clock. So please come back. I beg you. Please come back tonight. But where was I going with that? Diet. Did I say diet? Oh, to be fit, to exercise that faith. Whose faith is it? It's the faith of Jesus Christ. But I can't exercise his faith until I die to my will. Now, I like me. You like you. We're going to have a plan. We've got calendars. We've got schedules. We've got notebooks. We've got to be from point A to point B. We've got to leave out the door enough time to get to work on time and all of that, church on time, all that. You understand that we work. We've got all of these different things we've got to do, but we've got to do it by the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not my will that he wants. He even said it himself, ladies and gentlemen, going to the cross. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, Father, but thine be done," Jesus said. I've got to die to my will. My life must become his life. 1 Corinthians 15:31 says this, "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ, Jesus our Lord." Paul says, "I die daily." Now, folks, understand something here. That doesn't mean physically, okay? Paul was simply saying, I die to what I want every day. When you get up in the morning, folks, and your feet hit the floor, the first thing you got to do, the first thing I have to do is say, "Lord, I want your will today." And I go to the Bible, right? I'll go to prayer, and I'll learn how to walk with God. I'll learn how to have a will, his will become my will. Any Larrys sitting in the room this morning? Anybody named Larry? I use this illustration across the country. Larry the drunk is somewhere in Silver Bow County. He's somewhere. You don't know who he is, but maybe you do. Larry the drunk comes to a meeting like this, and he bows his heart, and he trusts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Boy, can I get a witness? Wouldn't that be awesome to see that? Sure would. Do you realize that Larry the drunk, being lost all of those years, comes to Christ, has a new will now, if you will. He's a new creature. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he's a new creature. Woo! In who? In Christ. Do you realize that Larry the drunk is now going to have the accessibility to put on the very character of Jesus Christ? Wait a minute, Brother Aker. Are you serious? I'm serious. Can anybody in this room testify this morning you didn't have the character of Christ before you got saved or before you got out of addiction? Help me now. Yeah, nobody did. You had the character of Christ. But when Christ moved in, his faith became alive in you. Guess what happened? You put on his character. You put on his will. And he wants you to follow his will. But here's the great thing about our God. He's a gentleman. He's patient. He's long-suffering. And he's a gentleman. He will not make you and I do anything. Anybody have children in the room? Uh-huh. You ever had to make your child go take out the trash? Go clean the table off after dinner? Finish the asparagus? Help us. But yeah, you ever had to make your child do those different things? Why'd you do that? You were trying to do what? You were trying to teach character to that child. It's the same exact way to as God does. He wants us to have character of him. He won't make us do it. But oh, the benefits of doing the right thing over and over and over again. God is pleased now. I'm a better person, if you will. I'm smiling now. I've got joy. I've got love. I've got peace. I've got long-suffering. Gentleness has to go out the window because I got cats. No, you're like, but I'm just kidding. But I'm going to put those things on. And now the world sees what Christ has done. Secondly, this morning, I should die to my will. Secondly, I need to deny my flesh. Pinch yourself. Go ahead. It's okay. Go ahead. Pinch yourself. Yeah. Pinch that flesh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, that flesh is strong, isn't it? Anybody have grandchildren in the room that are, say, ages from 3 to 7? Okay. Any smaller grand? I do. I've got 2 grandkids, 8 months old and 2 and a half. And they're cute. They're great. They're stubborn. They got a strong will. Yeah, okay, Grandpa, I know you said not to go over here, but I'm going to go over here, Grandpa, because it's fun over here. No, don't go over there, son. Don't go over there. Oh, I want to go over here, Grandpa, because it's fun to go over here. He's got a strong will. Ladies and gentlemen, don't fool yourself. So do we. When God wants to work in my life, he says, you got to deny some things. You got to give that up. We got in late Thursday night from the airport, and I'm hungry, and the only place really that really was open was that place with the Golden Arches. Don't ever eat McDonald's at 11:45 at night. Please don't eat McDonald's at 11:45 at night. I did not feel well on Friday morning. That's all I'm saying. So I got to deny that stuff, preacher. It's his fault, not my fault, his fault. But you got to deny it. Some of those things in our life we have to give up. Not being facetious about the hamburgers, but there are things in your life, in my life, I know I don't need. I got to say, you know what? I'm going to deny that. I'm going to cut it off. I'm going to not give myself access to that. You ever tried to get on a computer program and it says these words, access denied? Huh. Or it says, check with the administrator. Oh, don't you love that one? The administrator is 4,000 miles away, and I got to check with the administrator? I got to get some work done here. Deny is telling yourself, I don't need what I think I need. Talking about your flesh now. Talking about the world and the devil that's constantly bombarding us, you understand. So I've got to deny that. I've got to give it up. The Bible says in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I've got to deny myself. But I don't want you to notice the progression here in the verse. He says, first of all, if any man will come after me. Jesus says, you want my character? He says, come and get it. He's just not standing and handing it out on the corner over here of St. Anne and Centennial, where am I pointing at? Continental Divide Boulevard, Continental Drive or something like that. Jesus isn't standing there handing out virtue. He's not standing there handing out joy and peace and love. He says, if you want it, he says, come and get it. So I got to come after Jesus, right? Then he says, as you do come after Jesus, hallelujah, praise God, he says, now deny yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus doesn't need me. I need him. Are you listening? I need him. He doesn't need me. I need him. God doesn't need me. I need him. When I can turn that mentality around, think, oh, God needs me to come to the RU ministry of the church and do this, that, and the other. No way, no way. God doesn't need me. I need him. And I will not recognize how much I really need him until I deny my flesh or deny my will. It's hard to do that, though, because I love Culver's ice cream. Is there Culver's in this neck of the woods? You have no idea what you're missing, folks. Trust me. Woo! 2020 rolls around. I'll use this illustration tonight, but I'll use it again this morning. 2020 rolls around. I told my daughter at Christmas time 2019, I said, I want to lose weight this year. She says, that's great, Dad. I said, 20 and 20. I'm not telling you what happened in 2020. I'm not telling you in the least what happened in 2020. But I want to lose 20 and 20. She goes, okay, Dad, let me give you a good bit of advice. I said, what is that? She goes, stop going to Culver's and eating the ice cream, Dad. Now, they've got this concrete mixer. You can put a spoon in there and turn it upside down for about 15 minutes. It ain't going nowhere. Oh, yeah, that's good stuff. Raspberries and blueberries in there, extra mix. Woo-hoo-hoo! Hallelujah, let's go to lunch now. But that's good stuff right there. But if I want to lose 20 pounds in 2020, I got to give up the ice cream. I got to give up the 11:45 p.m. burgers from McDonald's. Yeah, I got to give up some things that I don't need because of the physical weight. It's the same exact principle spiritually, ladies and gentlemen. God says you don't need that flesh. You don't need those desires. You don't need those appetites. You don't need that lust. You don't need that greed. You don't need that money. You don't need all those things. He says, find your satisfaction in me, the Lord Jesus says. He says, deny. Then he also says, take up the cross. I don't see anybody in the churches today necessarily running to the altar preacher saying, give me that cross, Lord. I'm ready to go. We're not seeing that today in the churches of America, folks. We're just not. Because we're not willing to come after Jesus, number one. Secondly, we're not willing to deny our flesh. Thirdly, take up the cross. Then he says, if you're in your Bible there, or in the scriptures, then he says, and follow me. Matthew 16:24, read it sometime. And follow me. I've got to contact the administrator in heaven called the Holy Spirit to understand how to deny this world. Are you listening? Hey, the world's very alluring, ladies and gentlemen. You know that. Anybody have a cell phone? Hold your phone up for a second. Anybody got a phone? You got a phone? Most of us are going to raise it up, right? You got a phone, don't you? Do you realize, we'll be done here in just a minute. Do you realize this? The average person, you can put them down. The average person, you realize this, is seeing in the world on a daily basis. We're seeing 10,000 advertisements a day. The average person. Brother Hagin, what in the world are you talking about? Okay, if you drove here from some other part of town, you saw a gas station name, you saw a restaurant name, you saw a tailor, you perhaps saw an eyeglass store, you saw a clothing store, you saw a restaurant, you see what I'm saying? You saw a bank, you saw a sign over here to get toupees. I'm going this afternoon to get one. Thank you for laughing. But you see all these advertisements. The world is basically in our hands. What in the world? How in the world are we going to be spiritual if we're constantly bombarded with the world, the flesh, and the devil all day long? We have to be very, very careful what our appetites are. We're going to be very, very careful what we're putting in our minds and putting in our hearts and watching on television or listening in conversations. We're going to be very, very careful with that. He says, you need your meditations protected. Rodney, here you go, just like I did yesterday. You've got to put on the helmet. Somebody take a picture and send this to me. Alex, would you do that? You've got to put on the helmet. You have got to have the whole armor. Ephesians chapter number 6. Let me see if I can do this without it falling. Too shiny of a head.
Got it.
Cool. You got to put it on. You have to protect your mind. The devil does not care if somebody drinks, smokes, carouses, all that filth. He could care less about the sin. He does not want you and I to think about righteousness, to think about meditation on God's word, to think about the repercussions of our bad decisions. He doesn't want anybody to think about any of that. Just have a good time. Live the way you want. That's the devil's MO, ladies and gentlemen. Hasn't changed in 8,000 years of human history. Hasn't changed. But I can change the direction of my life if I choose to give up my will. If I choose to give in to God's will. If I choose to give him all the glory. Deny my flesh, die to my will, and hallelujah, I'm a happy camper in Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness this morning? I'm a happy camper in Christ. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants. Our ministry is filled with people who've had their lives literally transformed. I mean transformed. We're going to show this. Transformed from night to day. From evil and wickedness to righteousness, from an ungodly lifestyle to living holy. We have seen thousands upon thousands of people, and their lives were changed because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of the help of a greasy wrench. That's all RU is, ladies and gentlemen. RU is a greasy wrench in the hand of churches around this country, helping people just like you and me get over the struggles. Be overcomers of whatever the addiction is and live victorious. Anybody like to lose anything in life? You like to lose a race? You like to lose when you're playing a board game? No. We all want to win, don't we? All of us want to win. We sure do. But let's trust Christ to give us the victory. I'm going to show you a video in just a moment. This video is a before and after. And I know every person on this video here, I think there may be about 35 people or so. I know all of them personally. I've seen their lives transformed. This is for God's glory, not for the glory of the church or the glory of the program. It's for God's glory. The song's called Not Guilty. I want you to listen, then I'll come back.
I gave my life to
Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. When a person's life gets changed, ladies and gentlemen, they're not guilty anymore in Christ's vision. They're not guilty anymore. Doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean they're sinless. It means they've now got on that right victory lane track of life. Boy, praise God. Some of you sitting right here, right now, that's your story. Tell him. Tell him you're thankful. And tell others what happened in your life. Your head, your bowed, your eyes are closed. You're standing with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we've heard some encouraging words.